Good evening. May I add my welcome to you this evening here at Bellevue. Apologies for my voice. I'm hoping it will last for the duration of the sermon. So tonight we are looking at Psalm 71. This psalm is a psalm all about security. It's all about safety, and it's all about trust. In whom or in what do we put our trust? In whom or what do we look to for our safety? And in whom or what do we find our security? The psalmist himself is unnamed. We assume that he's someone involved in the music. He draws on lots of other psalms. Many of the verses are similar to earlier psalms. We suspect that he's someone in his middle age or perhaps a little older. He's concerned about grey hairs. He mentions about his youth beforehand. And his reason for praying, his reason for seeking God, is because he is concerned that he is going to be put to shame, and he looks to God for his security. Whoever the author is, he begins the psalm by praising God. He acknowledges God for who he is, what he looks to God for. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. He begins by stating that God is the person in whom he will take refuge. He begins by stating that it is God. There is no mention of anything else. It's God that he goes to. He begins by requesting that God prevents him from being put to shame. He doesn't say by what or by whom. He immediately begins with his plea to God. But before we get any details of his plea, who's trying to put him to shame or what is trying to put him to shame, he carries on praising God. The whole focus of the psalm is on God. The focus is not on the trouble that the psalmist is in, but the focus is on God. The first few verses are all about God's glory and God's greatness. He begins by demonstrating his total acceptance of who God is and his total acceptance that it is in God that he finds his safety and his security. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. The psalmist declares that God is righteous, and he speaks to God, expecting God to save him. He knows that God will do justice. He knows that God will not let him down, and it is in God at this time, in his hour of need, that he puts his trust. But why does he need to trust in God? What is he running from? He hasn't told us that yet. What is it that you need to put your trust in God for? What are you running from? What problems do you have in your life at the moment that are causing you to grieve, to worry, to fret? And whom or what are you going to put your trust in? Whoever and whatever he's running from, it seems like quite an urgent plea. He's very direct to God. In the Cairngorms Mountains, there is a small hut called a refuge hut, built by the army. I'm not sure exactly when, but it's a place where people can go and take refuge from the harsh storms of the Cairngorm Mountains. It's a place where they can go and they can be safe. And just here, the psalmist is saying that it's God who is his refuge. God is where he will be safe. The plea is of somebody of imminent danger. Picture refugees crossing from Syria across the borders of Europe, desperately trying to flee acts of terror, desperately trying to build a life for them that is safe, where their children can be safe. Picture civilians fleeing to their Anderson shelters during the war when the air raid sirens go off. Whatever or whoever he is running from, there is a sense of urgency. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. The psalm carries on, still praising God. He still has not laid down his exact worries, his exact concerns. He still responds by praising God. He uses this psalm not to enable others to hear of the exact details of his distress, not for others to hear of the exact problems he is having in his life, but for others to hear that it is God in whom he puts his trust. He makes it very clear his total and genuine faith in God. He makes it very clear that it is God he is running to. Sometimes in our prayers, we sometimes shy away from making God the focus of our attention. We sometimes make our prayers quite simple and focus very much on us. Sometimes in public, we aren't keen to mention the greatness and the glories of God. We read verses like Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, which states, "Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray while standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people can see them." Sometimes when we read this, it becomes all too easy for our prayers to become shorter and shorter and simpler, to become simple acts where we say, "God, please help me with that. Thank you for doing that, and I'm sorry for that." In stark contrast, this psalm was written for public worship. This psalm was written for public prayer. The psalmist himself was likely involved in using other psalms for public worship and public prayer. In our prayers, in our reflections, we should not shy away from seeing who God is. We should not shy away from seeing how wonderful it is to have someone like God that we can run to as our refuge, as our sanctuary. "Be to me a rock of refuge, which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me. You are my rock and my fortress." The image of God as a rock is a recurring theme. It frequently occurs all through the Bible. It symbolizes strength, it symbolizes power, it symbolizes security, and it symbolizes permanence. Across the breadth of this country, we use rock for all of our major security, at least up until very recently. We build our castles, and we expect them to stand up against the enemies. They would have been places that would be secure fortresses that would outlast even the longest of sieges. We use it to build palaces and homes for our kings and queens. We build our own homes, and we secure our own possessions. How often do you hear of somebody having to replace their windows and occasionally replace their door? It's not often you hear of someone having to replace an entire wall of their house. We build our harbours to shelter our boats from the sea, from rock. We use it to build statues of our greatest countrymen. We expect the statues to live longer, perhaps, than even we do. The idea of rock is it's somewhere of safety, somewhere of security, and something that is permanent. The point that the psalmist is making here is it lasts. Nothing is going to break through it. God is the perfect rock. Rock is the closest thing this psalmist would know to something which never changed, to something which lasted forever. The psalmist knows that God will not abandon him. He knows that on running to God, his feet will be put secure on a rock. He knows that that rock is permanent, that it will never change, and he knows that that rock will always have space for him, that there will always be somewhere to go. He states that God has already given the command for him to be saved. He has utmost faith in God. He knows that God will not let him down. He has total faith in God. He mentions his youth. He mentions his birth. He mentions how God looked after him then. He knows this from experience, and his experience has taught him that God is the rock to which he can run. What do we turn to when we are in difficulty? What do we turn to when we have something from which we need to run? When we need reprieve from our trials and difficulties, we have to think carefully, whom or what are we going to run to? Is it God? Or do we need to substitute God for something else? Do we say that God is our rock and our refuge, or is it something else? Perhaps your trust is in your family and in their health. Perhaps it's in your house. Perhaps in your mortgage or your investments. Perhaps it's in your insurance, your job, your own health. Perhaps it's in your skill set. None of these things are bad or evil in themselves, but if you put your trust in them, if you expect them to be permanent, to not falter, you will be disappointed. Don't build your house upon the sand. Build your life upon the rock. In the rock, there is no disappointment. You will not be let down. The rock will not falter. Your security in God is absolute. Unlike your job, we can't be guaranteed that we'll still have a job in 2 or 3 years' time. What about your health? We can't be guaranteed that you'll still have good health, as I found out earlier this year and this week. You cannot be guaranteed that your family will continue to have good health. You cannot be guaranteed that your insurance will pay out, that your investments will be secure, that your house will stand the test of time. Yet with God, you can guarantee. With God, there is no doubt. He will not let you down. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the unjust and cruel man. Only now does the psalmist reveal from what he's running. He at last explains the source of his discontent. Finally, he has made it clear why he is speaking to God, why he is addressing him so directly. And yet that's it. That's all we get for now. He moves back, once again, to praising God. How wonderful it would be to be like this psalmist, where so much of our life, so much of our prayer, so much of our worship is purely focused on praising God and not on ourselves. How often do we fall into that trap where we pray and everything is about what is going on in our lives and almost nothing is about the greatness and the glory of God? Perhaps we do that in our own lives at home. Perhaps we do that here in Bellevue. The key point from this psalm, though, is God should be the centre of our attention. God should be the person on whom we are focused. Upon you I have leaned from before my very birth. The psalmist makes it clear that God has been with him, that God has been a companion for the whole of his life. God has never left his side, and God will never leave his side. How wonderful it is, if you're here tonight, to know the wonderful glory of God, to know that he has been with us since before our birth, and he is still with us here, and he has been with us from then and will continue from now. How wonderful to be so intricately known, to be so understood. How wonderful to have such a perfect and loving God, but someone that we can call our rock and our refuge. If you're here tonight and you do not know God, and you do not call him your rock and your refuge, know that there is nothing here on earth, nothing whatsoever, that will outlast God or that will give you more protection. Everything here on earth will pass away. Nothing here on earth will last. Only in God will you find someone who will not let you down. Matthew 24 states, Jesus left the temple and was going away. When his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple, but he answered, You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Do you see, even the most impressive thing that the disciples would have known before Jesus would not last. The most impressive building in their city of Jerusalem would not last. The thing that they expected to be the most secure, the most safe, the most trustworthy place would not last. Noble the things that we have here in our lives, but God will last. Those who do not put their trust in God will be let down. Whatever earthly institutions, whatever earthly things, whatever earthly people they put their trust in, they will be let down. Put your trust in God. And what if you're here tonight and you do know God? What then does this psalm say to you? This psalmist paints a wonderful picture of someone who is faithful to God all of their life, someone who trusts in God throughout all of their life. The psalmist's trust in God is total and absolute. Do not build your life partly on God and partly somewhere else, because if you build your life partly on the rock and partly on the sand, you will find that your life comes tumbling down. The psalmist continues to praise God. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation, all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. So even to old age and grey hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. How great it is that we can trust in God, that we can trust in him as our rock and our refuge. Perhaps you're reaching the stage in your life, perhaps you're past the stage in your life where grey hairs are becoming a concern to you. Perhaps you're reaching that point where you're looking and it looks like things are going downhill. Perhaps you feel like you've had all the upward good years in your life and that things are now in a slow decline. This is obviously one of the main concerns of this psalmist. He mentions it more than once. What is our response when we become older? What is our response when our bodies start to fail? Will your response be just like the psalmist? Or will it be like many here on earth? Will you adopt the Western ideal? Will you aim for a retirement where you've earned your way to a wonderful life of luxury and leisure? Will you aim for retirement free from all the concerns and worries of life so that you can use money and security to avoid problems of aging? Or will you be like the psalmist? If you're one of the older members of this congregation, if you're on the way to becoming one of the older members of this congregation, be like this psalmist. Have a resolve that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done throughout your life, have a resolve that you will pass on this good news of a rock that you can stand on all of your life. Have a resolve that you will be that person to pass it on to the younger generation. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't focus your life on luxury and leisure, or become old and grumpy about the trials of aging. Pass on the wonderful news that it is to have a rock to stand on. Finally, let's conclude before my voice truly fails. The psalmist concludes the psalm by praising God. He gives us almost nothing about the exact details of his worries and his concerns. Yes, he brings them to God, but this psalm is all about God. It is all about the psalmist focusing on God, telling the world and telling God that he is the rock that will not falter and that it is in him that we should put our trust. Let's pray.